The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Shaka Hissop. Later on in the programme, Alessandro Del Piero will be here to react. Bonucci going on Instagram to apologise for that red card during Italy's defeat against Spain in the Nations League. But we kick things off with the second semi-final in that tournament. And what a game it turned out to be. Belgium taking on France. Belgium 2-0 up at the break. However, the world champions rallied and then some in the second half. Benzema and then Mbappe with a penalty, and then late on Theo Hernandez scoring the winner that would see France advance to the final by defeating Belgium by 3-2. For more on this, let's welcome Julien Laurent, Frank Leboeuf and Craig Burley to the show. So excited is Craig by this performance that he's wearing a tie for no particular reason home.
I'm making it because somebody's got to make an effort here.
Right, I see. Do look like you've just come from a wedding.
I could have come on a T-shirt. I went upstairs, I put a tie on. I'm at least making an effort. Let me tell you, there's too many French in this broadcast. If that result had remained the same at halftime, those two would never have been seen. Would never have seen them if the result had stood at halftime.
Hey, Craig, it was a great game, wasn't it?
Don't be bitter.
No, I'm certainly not bitter, Giles, on this. But yeah, look, we have to give UEFA some credit. The international friendlies were absolutely rancid. They were dead in the water. Nobody cared. Nobody wanted to watch them. Nobody wanted to play in them. And at least this Nations League has given countries a purpose and something to play for. Yes, it's not the World Cup, of course, it's not the Euros, but it is something tangible that actually means something to the players. And I think we've seen that certainly in the two semi-finals we've seen so far. But, you know, at the end of the day, Dan, this was what France were all about in the second half. This was France putting a marker down. This was France pressurising Belgium. And also, I think what we saw as well as the game went on was a Belgium side that started to tire as well. And, you know, so many caps in this side, but it's not getting any younger. And credit France for coming back. It really was an excellent second half performance.
Jules, at halftime, the knives are out, weren't they, for Didier Deschamps? A lot of questions about whether or not this France side were, in fact, a team. Boy, they came out in that second half and they silenced their critics in some style.
Yeah, that's right. And we're starting to know a bit what was said at halftime in that dressing room. Paul Pogba said at the end, let's wait until Sunday and see if we win this tournament, this competition, and then we can tell you what happened in that dressing room at halftime, because apparently Kylian Mbappe, Karim Benzema, Hugo Lloris, even Deschamps, of course, himself, but had some really strong words. Not that the first half was dreadful, but this was the old France, the whole habit of, okay, let's be solid, let's defend, give them the ball, they're going to attack, but we're going to deal with it, we're going to manage it well, we're going to control the game. But this team cannot do what the team in 2018 did, what they used to do before, different players, different mindset, different mentality. What this team can do is what we saw in the second half. And I think they were playing against their qualities and against their profile in that first half, and they got caught 2 goals in 4 minutes that they should have defended much better, especially the first one. What Pavard is still doing in that team is beyond me, but that's another problem. And then the second half, now they came out much better, fighting harder, higher up on the pitch. The press was so much better, and finally that front three starting playing with each other, which was not the case in the first half.
No, that was the key, wasn't it? You take a look at that Griezmann, Mbappe, Benzema triangle up front, Frank. They really put that Belgian defence under pressure in that second half.
Well, I would say that Kylian Mbappe did, and he started the French Revolution in that matter during that game. I wouldn't talk about Griezmann, because Griezmann, except the penalty, didn't do much. I think Benzema, as you showed in the pitch during on the first goal, did something absolutely fantastic. But Benzema, Mbappe really did something and changed the game. It's all credit to him and how he tried hard to bring the action and the ball forward. And you can see on those pictures that is him and him and him again, with of course that fantastic goal from Benzema. But I think it's all credit to Belgium that we didn't see the French side for the first half. They did very well. Lukaku was on fire for an hour and has been absolutely a nightmare for France. And maybe you have to understand that Hazard went out just before the France reaction, and it's maybe why. Maybe it's a reason why France find more freedom, because they don't have another threat at front. But I'm pretty disappointed with the game that I saw from France.
Came from behind, they won!
Yeah, and so they played dreadfully for an hour. I don't agree with Jules. I think it was awful. Credit to the Belgium, to the Belgic, but...
Cut him off. He's frozen.
It's not just the French team that are in-fighting. Our French pundits are in-fighting as well and disagreeing here. I think you guys talked about Mbappe yesterday again in the show, which was a third day running, by the way. Congratulations.
Mbappe's mum, I believe, Craig. Get it right.
It was Mbappe and Mbappe's mum, so it was 3 days in the spin. So we're going to make it 4 days in the spin because we've got nothing else to talk about. But you know my feelings on all these statements and people and mum interviews and, you know, him giving interviews and stuff. Look, this is what we appreciate from Kylian Mbappe, is do your talking on the field. Show us what you're about. Show us that drop of the shoulder. Show us that one-on-one change of pace where he's almost, you can't defend against him unless somebody else comes and doubles up against you. And, you know, that's where his talking should be done. The rest of it, I think, for the rest of the season, for the best part, I think he should just stay stum. Keep his mouth shut. Do your football. Let your football do the talking, because we know that's where he's at his best. And I think his football will be better for it. And I think we saw huge glimpses of that and that game tonight against Belgium.
A lot of character from him, Shaq.
Yeah.
Not only his performance, particularly in the second half, stepping up and taking that penalty as well.
I thought a lot of character from the French team on the whole, in all honesty. And despite what the scoreline suggested at halftime, I don't think France were that much worse than Belgium. I disagree with Frank a little bit on that point and agreeing with Jules. I thought the opportunities that they created, too often their shooting let them down, and it was more straight at Courtois than really testing from good opportunities. One of the other things that I thought that you saw from France in utilising Kylian Mbappe that was different in the second half is so often you see France sit deep and ask Kylian Mbappe to run from deep in behind defences. This time they press high up and challenge Kylian Mbappe to take on that defence one-on-one with a little shimmy, a little sidestep, and just get a yard past his man. That's where their goals came from. That's where the Benzema goal came from. That's where Mbappe's opportunity came from. And that's where the winning goal came from. And not often enough, you see that from France. That second half performance from France was everything that you know this France team can be, but have not been. Even when they've been winning, I don't think you've seen France look this exciting, play this much on the front foot.
Jules, is it indicative of this France 98 side that they can't say anything nice about the current generation? Is that what we're hearing from Frank?
Yeah, probably. No, I don't know. I don't know, but I agree with Shaka and I disagree a bit with Frank. I thought from the start in that second half, they did more in the first 15 minutes of the second half than in the whole of the first half, pretty much. But just to finish on Kylian Mbappe, this was his 50th cap at 22 years old. He's the youngest ever to reach that milestone in the history of French football. He's on course for beating Lilian Thuram's record and maybe others if there's another who breaks that record before of 142. But the character that he showed after his interview, after those quotes about, you know, I felt at times that was a problem for this team during the Euros, and I thought about my future with the national team. The penalty, the fact that, yes, when he was not there in the last international break, Benzema and Griezmann, albeit only against Finland, combined well together, played well, and we were wondering, can they actually play well, the three of them together? The first half was disappointing. And for him to put up that kind of performance shows what a great player he is. And I think this could be a real turning point in his career. He hadn't scored in his last six caps, which for someone of his talent is crazy. And now tonight, I think he put a lot of the doubts and everything else to bed.
Do you agree, Frank?
Well, I don't know what I can agree about that, because everybody's against me. I know we live in democracy, but when I see... when I see Belgium, you know, having three clear chances in the first half, and I see France, you know, driving their offensive action so slowly, turning around, not finding any spaces, trying to find themselves with Pavard on the right side and one of the Hernandez brothers on the other side, but not creating anything... And comparing to what we saw in the second half, how can it be possible to say that France was okay the first half, when we are talking about the world champion being moved so much by Belgium? And just so you know, for the penalty, I think it was normally Benzema in charge of it, and I think Benzema gave the ball to Mbappe, which is a very good sign of their understanding and friendship. But again, I didn't see the French side I wanted to see. And if we compare the second half, especially the last half an hour of the game, how can you say that France played well when you see what they're capable of for 30 minutes, where we don't see Belgium anymore? For me,
he's turned into a right miserable git, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Holy smokes, Frankie boy. Hey, well, let me tell you, hey, I wouldn't have liked to have seen, if Mbappe had missed that penalty, would we have had more arguments amongst the parents? Do you know what I mean?
There would have been trouble. I want to get to you on a Belgian perspective. Roberto Martinez, of course, heavily linked to Barcelona. If you're him now, do you think, you know what? I think I've taken this side as far as I can. They're tired. They are getting older by the day. Maybe it's now time to make that move.
Yeah, what are we, just over 12 months away from the Qatar World Cup? I mean, they're still in decent shape. I mean, we shouldn't write them completely off, but almost always the bridesmaid, never the bride, it seems, and just keep getting knocked out in these semi-finals. But yeah, they've got Doku to come in. They had Torgan Hazard wasn't available, one or two others. But it's still a decent squad. But I think we saw towards the end of the game that they were getting more and more tired than they are, no doubt about it, and an ageing squad. And, you know, Eden Hazard's looking fitter than he was, and he was involved in the first half and he picked up some nice spaces. But I don't see him going past anybody anymore. And he's looking better than he was, but that bar was very low for his standards. And I just don't see him beating players anymore. That being said, I think Roberto Martinez will probably see it out to Qatar 2022, primarily because things are a bit of a shambles at Barcelona and I'm not sure it's the right time to step in there. But yeah, 2-0 up, got to see the game out, got to expect a reaction from France. And unfortunately, Belgium went up to that reaction. But let me just say one more thing about the front line. And, you know, I think one thing that's underappreciated is not, you know, the skills of Mbappe and the goals of Karim Benzema once more, but I think I should also touch on the work rate of Karim Benzema. Again, working back and working out to the fullbacks and shutting the ball down. That off-the-ball work sometimes goes unnoticed. And once again, I think he showed what a true professional that he is.
They have been two thoroughly entertaining semi-finals, haven't they? The final then hopefully will live up to them. That is, of course, on Sunday. It will be Spain against France. What a cracking tie that should prove to be. Meanwhile, European qualifying continues. A whole host of games for you available on ESPN+. These all available for you tomorrow. Czech Republic against Wales is on ESPN2. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. We'll, of course, be reflecting on those on the next edition of ESPN FC. We'll also be looking back at the US against Jamaica, the men in action tonight in Texas in that World Cup qualifying. That match is live on ESPN2 at 7:30 Eastern. For more on that, let's head to Austin, shall we, and Sebastian Salazar.
Austin, Texas, just a few hours away from kickoff between the United States and Jamaica. We're expecting a sellout at the brand new and beautiful Q2 Stadium as these two teams throw down for a spot at the next World Cup. Casey Keller, Jermaine Jones, Sebastian Salazar here with you guys. Let's look at this U.S. schedule coming out. Yes, Jamaica tonight. Then you got away to Panama and then home against Costa Rica on the 13th. What is a good haul for the U.S.? What's an acceptable number out of 9 points, Jermaine?
Yeah, we said it, 7 points, you know. I think the 7 points to get, and then I think you can be happy with these three games. And, you know, it's already starting this game against Jamaica with a win. That will be important.
That makes both your home games must wins, essentially. You have to take care of business here, no?
I'm 100% on that. I say 100% you have to focus on getting 6 points out of these two home games and then see what you get on the road. But, you know, and then it would be an extra. It's maybe you get out with 3 wins. You know, we don't know. But so much pressure, we don't want to put on them. So we say 6 points, you at least have to win both home games.
Yeah, it's super important, Seb. I mean, you look at any time a qualifying campaign. Win your home games, pick up the odd point on the road, and you qualify for a World Cup. The first three games weren't as smooth as the U.S. would have liked, mm-hmm. but we got a lot of hope. Yep. Coming off of that last half against Honduras in that final game. So, fingers crossed, that's what we see is that final 30 minutes against Honduras.
Yeah, big games, big names missing for both in this game for the United States and Jamaica. Our coverage starts 7:30 p.m. Eastern time on ESPN2. Join us online starting at 6:30 Eastern.
As Tebby mentioned, if you want to check out more from the boys online, you can check them out at 6:30 Eastern right across ESPN's social media platforms. Meanwhile, the NWSA players engaged in a show of solidarity as play resumed last night following allegations of sexual coercion and harassment against a former coach that have rocked the league. Now, teams stopped play in the 6th minute in recognition of the 6 years it took for allegations to come to light. More on that and, of course, reflection as to what happens between the U.S. and Jamaica. Football America's 24 hours later this week. Be sure to check out the boys tomorrow for the latest episode.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Meanwhile, Tutto Sport Fiore, of course, Italy out of the Nations League after 37 matches unbeaten. That came to an end in that 2-1 defeat against Spain. Bonucci sent off 5 minutes before the break for a second bookable offence. Now, he took to Instagram saying, "I'm angrier than you. First of all, with myself, I'm sorry and I apologise, but this Italy will rise and be stronger than ever." Frank and Craig are still with us. We also welcome Alessandro Del Piero to the show. Ali, this is becoming more and more common, isn't it? We're seeing it right across the board. Bruno Fernandes apologising for missing the penalty. Bonucci now apologising for getting sent off. What do you make of this?
I mean, it's a new way to communicate, you know, to your fans. It's two different things, by the way, from my point of view, when you miss a penalty and when you got sent off like Bonucci yesterday. when you got sent off, it's quite heavy as a importance to my point of view. Missing a penalty can happen. Everybody did it. So besides that, the fact that you want to apologize with your fan, with your teammates, it's in front of the public, you know, like this is something that I appreciate, to be honest. Have to be something normal to my point of view, you know. We play a game, we won because we are better than you, or we miss because we miss some part or we make some mistakes. It's normal part of the joke. But what is really important is I felt so emphasis on you, Dan, say that we lost. I don't know why, but am I wrong or what?
No, I was just merely making the point. I was enjoying the fact that Italy lost.
You raise up the voice, you know.
No, I was just merely mentioning it.
You raise up a little bit the voice, I mean.
Right, but we're just going back to the final, aren't we, Wembley? Okay, look, as you're in a bad mood already, I don't want to get you even more hyped up. But somehow on this show, we also always bring it back to the Euro 2000 final. You coming off the bench, you had a big chance, of course, to score against France, a chance that you missed 20 years ago.
Let me tell you this. At the end of that game, it took me a lot to apologize about what happened. You know, I really felt that two chance can change the game.
Yeah.
I missed it. So I went in front of the camera and say, you know, I'm sorry. I feel sorry about that. But I really felt sorry more than the other ones. I believe Bonucci that he say I'm angry than anyone because he's the one that made it, unfortunately. So it's a good way to recognize your mistakes, from my point of view. It's a sense of responsibility.
So 20 years ago, if there was Instagram, you would have apologized.
And I would have forgiven him.
Listen, are we going to go through that again? Are we going to talk about what happened this summer? I'm happy to do it.
The suggestion.
I kept quiet most of the time because I have a lot of respect to you and to a lot of people that are friends of mine and are from England. But
yeah, thank you very much. Come on. Craig, what do you think? Is there a difference between missing a penalty and a red card, for example? Was it 98 World Cup?
Well, listen, you're doing my head in with this apology stuff now. This week, I've had my fill of Kylian Mbappe, and now I've got a fill of these apologies. If you're asking me if I was on Instagram or Twitter in 98 when I get sent off at the World Cup, would have I apologised? No! Bloody wouldn't have. Still haven't apologised for it. Why would I? Sod off. Rather listen to my dog bark upstairs.
Frank, would you like to apologise for anything?
Frank needs to apologise for wearing that
spring for many things. Well, you don't like my shirt, you know? I want to say that in France, we forgive Alessandro very much. No problem. We forgive him. I sent a text to Bonucci in English. I don't know if he understands English. But I say, you're a defender. Never apologize for something you would have done because you just play your game. Bonucci is a tough defender. He's a tough player, one of the greatest defender in the world. Never apologize for something we can be, you know, usual as a defender because it can happen. And he showed to Italy that he's proud of wearing the shirt, he's proud of fighting every time. So don't apologize. It's part of your game.
Jack?
Listen, I don't get it. I'll be honest. And as you know, I'm not overly active on social media. I don't understand the need to be. I accept that maybe it's part of today's landscape, but that's all I can do here is just leave the players to do as they see fit, and I accept that I will never be able to understand it or explain it.
Let's peel that back a little bit, Shaq. You could have taken the last bit off that and just put, I'm not overly active. I think you'd have been on safe ground with that, to be fair.
Away from Bonucci's apology, it was a rough night, of course, for Donnarumma back in Milan for the first game since he made that move to PSG. Alessandro, what did you make of the booing that we saw throughout the game from the Italian fans?
Well, it was already planned, you know, the day before when came out the news that they're going to play in Milan and after what happened this summer. To be honest, and I understand the fans, you know, they want to express their stress about the situation. No, stress is not the right word, you know, their bad mood about the fact that Donnarumma chose PSG instead of Milan. But to be honest, if it was a game between PSG and another team in Milano, yes. But in front of your national team, it shouldn't go in a different way, to be honest.
Meanwhile, away from the Italian side, Alessandro, it's the first time we've had the opportunity to talk about Juventus this season. It hasn't exactly been plain sailing, hasn't it, for Max Allegri since taking over for his second tenure. A mixed bag of results. However, he's on a good run at the moment, of course, four straight wins. Do you feel he's taking this side in the right direction?
I think he's taking his side in his direction, in his way to play the game. And to reinforce the defense that they are challenging a lot in the past games, conceding too much opportunity to the opponents and too many goals. And then start from there, you know. You need to rebuild a lot of things at Juve from the day that he left. A lot of things changes, even a lot of players, to be honest. So he wants to recreate that mood, that sense of idea of Juventus, really, really strong and defender. In defense and with talent in front that they can make everything can happen. So that is the idea of football. And he knows that he has a very long season in either Champions League and he hoping in Champions League, of course, but in the Italian League. So he was clear in the last months. Let's be focused on the Champions League and then make the first two great games, because on the league in Serie A we have time to recover, and this is what he's doing. Actually, he did great in the Champions League, and he started winning again in a league. So it's his way to do things, to be honest.
Juventus obviously sitting seventh in the table. Alessandro, you were saying before we went on air they've got no chance of winning the Scudetto this year. Yeah, that's right.
Yes, exactly. And I think we have a clip on that. listen, Allegri, last time that he started like this, actually won the Scudetto, statistically. But what happened, what changed between now and 3-4 years ago? The other teams are much, much stronger, first of all. And they see Juventus, they see that they can beat Juve. This is the real difference. Before was some kind of intimidation. You know, they're winning all the time. It doesn't matter if they're 10 points down. They're going to come back and soon. When you play with that fear, you're gonna miss the opportunity. Now that fear from Milan, from Napoli and Inter is gone because Inter won last year. So everything changed in the planet of Serie A now because, Juve can also doesn't win the league. So we can make something more on that. And this is how you build up. And this is the main difference from my point of view. Not that the Juve cannot win the title. Juve, of course, can win the title. They have an incredible number of great players and champions in his roster. But the other team are much, much stronger.
Alessandro, thank you very much. Don't go anywhere. Extra time will involve Alessandro, Frank and Shaka. And as always, you can check that out over on our YouTube channel.
Hey. Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
We're showing you the bottom of the table because we want to just emphasise where Newcastle are at the moment. Second from bottom, just 3 points from their opening seven matches. Yet their fans were rejoicing on the streets literally today as Mike Ashley is no longer the owner of their club. And it is big news, Julien Laron, because the new owners have a lot, and we mean a lot of money.
Yeah, that's right, because it's the sovereign fund of Saudi Arabia, what we call him the PIF, if you want, who have directly bought the club with other investors from the UK, the Rubin brothers, for example, and then Amanda Staveley and her husband as well, 10% each, 20% for the two of them, and then 80% for the Saudis. As much as they want to try to defend the fact that they are not owned right now by Saudi Arabia, they are. And this is the reality, so we can debate for as long as we want about the fact that a football club in England is owned by another state, a bit like Manchester City or like PSG. We can also debate a lot on the human rights situation in Saudi Arabia and, you know, going into Jamal Khashoggi and other issues like that, of course. And this is heavily done right now in England, and rightly so, because a lot of people don't understand how the Premier League allowed this takeover to happen and for the Saudis to buy this club. But the reality is right now, this changing the dimension of Newcastle United as a football club, because suddenly they've got all that money, not that they'd be able to spend hundreds of billions because there's still financial fair play involved both in the Premier League and obviously through UEFA. But certainly in terms of what this club can achieve now with the owners that they have, it's a complete different ballgame.
Thank you very much, Jules. A lot more reaction to that takeover. You can check that out over on our YouTube channel. As always, plenty of reaction also as well on the Gab and Jules podcast. Ah, it's that time of the week, Shaq.
What was that?
Get ready.
All right.
Get ready. It is time for your power rankings.
And it's a good week this week, Dan.
Oh, yeah?
Only one team in last week's top 10 won in their domestic league, and that was Napoli, and they're down because right. They lose to Spartak Moscow in the Europa League. They're seventh in Moscow, so Napoli drop. Flamengo and Palmeiras in Copa Libertadores finalists. It's a good opportunity to be all-inclusive.
I see.
Palmeiras
that, yeah.
Ahead of Flamengo because they've got the better of Atlético Mineiro in the semi-final. Mineiro top in Brazil.
Right.
Inter, AC, Atleti are back up in there.
Okay.
Bayer Leverkusen, who are now joint top in the Bundesliga, in at fourth. Jules made a whole lot of noise for Salzburg last week, and they're in. I have City and Liverpool, especially after that game, despite the draw. I thought that was as good football as we've seen for quite some time. City get the edge because they were on the road against Liverpool. So they sneak in at number one.
Who's top of the Premier League, Shaq?
Huh?
Who's top of the Premier League?
Who is?
Yeah, who is?
Is it Liverpool?
No.
Who?
Yes. Chelsea.
Chelsea. They got smashed by...
Yes!
They lost to...
Juventus?
City and Juventus.
Right.
Down.
No, they're down. So Liverpool, Manchester City play out a draw.
Play out a draw, but a good draw, Dan.
Oh, I see. Then that's enough.
A very good draw. That's you're forgetting that.
Jules, do you concur with this top three?
Jules loves it.
Shaka, you know how much I love you, yeah? And how much respect I've got for you.
Wow,
right? And
this
I know
is
you're sometimes
well.
Forced to do those power rankings. But
it's
I
my,
mean,
it's
this
my
one,
gift, Jules.
This one today, I think you are the gift that keeps on giving, that's for sure. Through your power rankings, I mean, because...
Thank you, Jules.
Flamengo and Palmeiras? Really?
Palmeiras have not won any of the last five games. I've got to be all-inclusive here.
They haven't won any of the last five games.
They've been focusing on the Copa Libertadores.
Atletico Mineiro are leading the Brazilian league right now. I mean, yes, Flamengo, to be fair to them, drew yesterday. But Palmeiras have nothing to do in there. Napoli in 10th.
They're focused.
Seven wins out of seven in the league.
Jules, they're focused.
7 out of 7. Why can Napoli do more? And you said they lost in Europe, but Milan did lose as well, and they're ahead of them in this ranking.
Well, I'm talking to Jules.
I mean, okay, come on, right. Freiburg, the only team unbeaten in the Bundesliga. Yeah. You know, where are they?
Where are they? They've drawn too many.
Where is was Napoli in your top 10?
Yeah.
Where were they?
10th.
10th?
Yeah.
But they're perfect.
How can they be behind Milan and Inter? I just told you why they're down there.
Why?
They lost to Spartak Moscow.
Why? Right, okay. And what about Milan losing?
But Milan lost to Atleti.
Yeah, but Milan lost to two teams in the Champions League. That were in the top 10 last week.
Wow.
And Napoli lose to Spartak Moscow, seventh in Moscow.
Right.
Or seventh in Russia.
What about River Plate? River Plate deserve to be there. They won the Super Classico. What about Lens? New England Revolution.
And what about all inclusive?
River Plate the 11th.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Frank LeBeuf. I bet you.
Did Julian just say what about New England Revolution?
Yes, he did.
Oh, good.
Hey,
Jules.
What do you mean your boy plays for them?
Yeah.
There you are. So you got to give them some love.
The 12th.
There you are, Frank. What would you like to say? In general.
Oh, Frank, so many things, you know. You know, Shaka, how much I respect you and how much I love you.
Oh, wow. Everybody.
Don't give me the Jules treatment. Jules, you already said that.
I know. I have to start like that. But I want to know why you don't have any. We don't have any French club first. And you are. Wow. You have to know by now, especially now, you are wanted in southwest of London. You know, because, you know, supposedly the Premier League is the biggest league in the world, and you put the second and the third of the league, you know, in the top of your power ranking, where the first is not in the 10.
Right,
so
this is
I'm
nonsense.
Sorry,
nonsense.
Shaka.
Absolutely.
What's wrong with you?
Well,
at least people are being nice to you. At least everyone's being nice to you before.
This is a wonderful power rankings.
Just a reminder, plenty of video content over on our YouTube channel. Be sure to go over there.
And the top 10.
Yeah, make sure you read the comments, Shaka, of this top 10. That'd be fun for you, most definitely.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
That is it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much for watching. If you want some more, be sure to stay tuned. Extra Time is next. Shaka here as well.
I'll stay.
Alessandro Del Piero and Frank LeBeuf with us to answer your tweets. Welcome in then to latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you for your tweets. Alessandro, are you all right? What are you doing with your seat? Bouncing up and
Stop
down?
Stop trying to upset Alessandro.
It's not difficult.
You've been upsetting him all day. You've been trying to upset Alessandro all day.
I tell you what, do you follow him on Instagram?
You know what,
yeah.
Shaka?
Go on. What are you going to say?
Because I'm not there. If I'm there, he's not going to laugh like he's doing now.
Yeah,
that's it.
That's very true. Alessandro. Okay. I've seen him when you're nearby.
Before we get to your tweets, what's interesting, Alessandro got over 4 million followers on Twitter.
Right.
Quite active, quite interesting, his feed. But over the last week or so, you've been putting pictures out of people of tattoos of you. around the world, which there are loads of them.
Really?
Loads of people have got Del Piero tattoos. Is that not weird, Alessandro, for you to see?
I saw it during all this year, and yeah. I got impressed, to be honest. So I decided for a couple of days to show some of the people, the fans, send me on Instagram. So I reposted all the time. It got the attention for a lot of people, including you. That is amazing. I mean, you pay attention on my post.
Of course.
This is something that I'm really proud of.
I'm obsessed with you. That's
a unique feeling for me.
Okay. Shall I ask it, Shaq? Shall I ask you this question?
Dan.
No, Frank, I've got to... Go on, Frank.
No, Dan, I'm sorry because I have one guy who tattooed my name on his bottom, so I didn't want to repost it because I'm too humble. But that's the true story. That's true.
So, right, we have to get into this more. This isn't you, Frank, this isn't you. You're not talking about yourself here, no? You haven't tattooed your name on your buttocks just for whatever reason.
No, of course not.
Just in case you get drunk one day, I can't get your way, find your way home.
And how did this come about? How did this happen?
I don't know. The guy put a team sheet, you know, with 11 players. And yes. I'm happy. I'm on the right side, so you know, I'm fine. I'm fine. But that's a true story. The guy sent me a picture of his bottom with my name on, with some other names. It's a mix between rugby and football player. And I'm on his right side. You see Leboeuf on his right.
Why are you happy to be on the right side and not the left?
Well, because I suppose you're further away from me.
Because I'm not in the center, Chaka.
Yeah, you don't want to be in the
center.
You don't want to be in the center, do you, Jack?
Listen, far too many questions here. None of them good.
HR explained. I'm going to pursue it. So, Alessandra, where is the strangest place that someone has a tattoo of you?
Well, I didn't post all of them because some of them were quite private. I'm not going to share with you, I mean. Not
Hello,
in the
HR?
Center
yes,
of the yeah. butt, by the way, but...
Especially because it's a long name, Alessandro
no,
Del Piero,
no.
So you have to find a place.
No, right.
You
now
can cover
definitely...
everything, you know?
Stop it! Frankly. Stop it, everybody! Oh, God, Daniel, what have you done?
By the way, Frank, let me say something. Frank, if you don't want to post that photo, send it to me. I'm going to post it, okay?
There you go.
Okay, I will.
Right. Well done. Okay, moving away from tattoos. Should Mancini be concerned over yesterday's loss to Spain, Alessandro, or that result be looked at the 37-match unbeaten run? It was going to end eventually. Also, I love you, Del Piero. You're my favourite player of all time.
Oh, show us your tattoo!
Where's your tattoo?
Show us your tattoo!
Let's go, Adam.
Oh, man. Should Mancini be worried, Ale?
No, it should be relief from my point of view because he's a smart guy. He knows that at some point he's going to lose one game. It's very disappointing, of course, losing a semi-final in the National League, but it's something that can happen in the football. And actually, the way that he addressed everything was really, really smart from my point of view. He said, you know what, let's take it as a lesson for the future because Italy, if they want to perform well and possibly win the World Cup, they need to find other kind of solution. They cannot play all the time in the same way because things can change, you know. And this is what happened against Spain from my point of view.
Any Shaka Hislop tattoos?
Nope, none.
No.
Not one.
Which team has the best chance to win a trophy in 5 years? Arsenal, Newcastle or Spurs?
Newcastle, of course.
Yeah, I forgot to ask you, Shaq, when we were doing the show about the takeover.
Yeah.
What do you make of it all?
Well, it's... From a Newcastle fan's perspective, it's exciting.
Right.
Newcastle fans, well, first of all, just wanted rid of Mike Ashley. They didn't feel he was a good fit. So they would have taken anybody, regardless. They would have taken anybody. To have somebody with potentially that amount of money to invest in the team... And this shows the power of football. Despite the concerns around human rights violations and issues and questions about the Saudi Arabian royal family and their involvement, all football fans see is money.
Right.
And an opportunity to have themselves be taken seriously again. If kind of trying to step back from that and be neutral, I think there are huge concerns. But there have been huge concerns around so many of the takeovers involved in Wales football these days.
Newcastle qualify for the Champions League within how many seasons? Four is the over and under.
I'm going to go over four.
You think it's going to take time?
I think it will take two or three seasons at least to have a squad good enough. And so right now, I'm going to go just a little bit over. It's a club that's in massive need of investment.
If they're not relegated.
Infrastructure and the squad.
They're not relegated.
No, well, I'm just saying.
At the end of the season.
Imagine that.
They're not going to get. Don't say that, Frank.
Oh, dear. Do you know there are no questions?
I'm not saying that. I don't wish that, but it can happen.
Well,
at the end of
you brought
season.
It up out of nowhere, Frank, to be fair. Mm-hmm. There's no questions for Frank today. Mm-hmm. Alessandro, do you see any Serie A teams making it far in the Champions League this season?
Bye-bye.
Yes, for sure. I think, depends how what far means. For me, potentially, let's say all four, they can go on the group stage, possibly, honest. But then after that, you know, it's not that easy. I think that reaching the quarterfinal for one of the four teams is a great result. Going forward, it's tough. You need to be perfect, and that's you're gonna discover only during the season how you perform. Are you feeling with the cup? Are you, what kind of mood you have, you know? Something magic sometimes happen. But, you know, in order to win the final, it's very tough for all of them.
Which Italian team went furthest last season in Champions League?
None.
Alessandro will remember. Who went furthest?
He doesn't remember. He's too busy jetting around the world. Big time lifestyle. Look at the tattoos. He don't remember what happened last year.
I bet Alessandro remembers. Which Italian team?
Atalanta.
Okay, never mind.
Juve.
Atalanta and Juventus both got knocked out
in the
round
last
of 16.
6-7 years.
There you go. Yeah. Alessandro, with Juventus getting worse and coming to the end of a cycle, Serie A has much more parity. Who dominates this decade and which other leagues do you think are headed towards more parity? Goodness me, that's a complicated question.
That is a long...
Let's do the first bit. Who dominates Italian football for the next 10 years, Alessandro?
I don't see one team that is going to dominate like Juve did. I think that now the power and the potential are equal divide. We still have, you know, a couple of teams that have amazing potential like Inter, but with such a lot of problems also as well. So you don't know how they're going to end up at the end of this year or the next year. But Milan is coming up really, really strong with a good strategy. I think Maldini is doing a great job. Napoli is a reality that still going well. They got a Spalletti that is an amazing coach and they're performing really, really good. And then you have a couple of teams that you don't know what's going to happen. I mean, with Roma, everything can happen in a good and a bad way, and with this coach. And then Juve will stay there in some way. They're going to survive and then maybe... I don't think it's over, but they need to change something that already started to do it. And this is it from my point of view. I mean, Atalanta need to understand that to answer themselves what they want to do. There's an amazing and beautiful reality on Italian and international football because they're so small and they built an amazing structure, an amazing organization. But now, if you want to move forward, you need to add something, and that is the real change that they have to decide to make it or not.
There's a question for Frank.
Hey!
Frank, what made you decide when to retire from international football? It must have been hard to let go when you have so much pride playing for your country.
Oh, Frankie.
Well, I decided before the World Cup in 2002 that I would given up after that. I think I should have given up, you know, 2 years before, but this was too late to think about it. But you know, I played 7 years for the national teams, and I was the oldest French player ever for like a year, 2 years before Fabien Barthez overtook me. But I was 35. Hold on a second. Yeah. 35 years old. Yeah, 35 right. years old when I played the World Cup in 2002. So it was already late, a little bit too late, I guess.
Alessandro, what about you?
I'm not retired. I'm gonna try for the next World Cup. So let's see if Mancini needs me.
See if you maybe can make up for that Euro 2000 final. Jack?
Oh, no,
really? Can I go? Thank you very much. It was a good time, guys. Catch up.
Shaq?
It was just time for me. So yeah. 2006 World Cup was my last.
Right.
Last outing for Trinidad and Tobago, and of course I left English football that same summer as well to come to Dallas and retired 18 months later, something like that.
Alessandro, what was it like training with a prime Buffon? Did that make scoring easier in games because you're training with a world-class goalkeeper every day?
First of all, I trained so much well that he became that strong. So this is one of the reasons why I'm that strong.
It's all up to you.
Oh. My God. I found my God.
Listen, it was absolutely amazing. It was really, really hard to score a team, even the training. It's, you know, the goalkeeper in Italy are such, we have a lot of many amazing goalkeeper. I have even Peruzzi before, that was another incredible goalkeeper. But of course, Gigi, we won the World Cup in 2006, and his performances in that World Cup was absolutely crazy. I mean, we conceded two goals. One against USA was an own goal by Zaccardo, and one penalty in the final. Mm. Of course, we have a great defense system with Cannavaro and other guys, but he made such an incredible saves that's out of control.
More on that World Cup, actually, Alessandro. What were the reactions, opinions about Zidane's headbutt in the dressing room afterwards, or was it forgotten in all the celebrations?
It wasn't forgotten, for sure, but because it was something that, you know, surprised everybody. Even though, because I played with Zizou 5 years at Juve, it happened a couple of times that he has that kind of issue during the Champions League or during the Serie A. He have a couple of head to the players as a reaction, so it was kind of instinct that he has. But yeah, it was such a surprise for everybody. I couldn't believe that happened. I mean, I didn't see nothing on the pitch, and then I saw the red card, and I say, what? He hit it with the head? Mm-hmm. Ooh, Zizou? Now, come on. It's not true, but this is what happened. But yes, it was in those moments after the World Cup win, I mean, we didn't think that much, to be honest. After a week when everything settled down, yeah, we say, oh, whoa, that was a big one.
How did Alessandro enjoy the Ryder Cup celebrity match, and how did you get on? Posh, eh? Mm. Ryder Cup celebrities. Mm.
Listen, we won that Celebrity Ryder Cup, the only one that we won, by the way.
Oh. So,
I mean, look at that. Look,
oh,
look, I mean,
tell you what.
It was absolutely fun. was absolutely amazing. The golf course was, oh, it was so difficult. I'm sorry. Yeah. I mean, I'm not a pro, but was such a great moment with all these fellows that we had the opportunity to play, and we won by 1 point. So was great experience. It was really great experience. I discovered Wisconsin, that is a beautiful state, by the way. So yeah. it was fun for me.
And who were you playing against? Which celebrities were you up against?
It was Regal.
Did you say tattoo?
No, nobody, no tattoos.
Oh, no tattoo.
No, we. I mean, we cannot be serious anymore, guys. It's hot here.
So where are you anyway? Are you in LA?
I'm in LA. Yes.
Oh, very nice. Frank used to live there. They kicked him out.
Oh, poor you. That.
Final question. Can someone from the ESPN crew explain how the algorithm works for questions? I've been sending questions for some time and just had an answer chosen. It seems like the most thoughtful and lengthy questions don't make it, yet only the short, easy ones do. #Good, #, Tesla for Stevie.
Well, I think you just solved your own algorithm. Short and easy.
Yes, yeah. Go on, Alessandro, what's your answer?
It's quite easy. If you send with the tweet, if you send also a photo with your tattoo, I think they're going to select you better.
I do not need that in my mentions. Thank you very much. Oh, my goodness.
Especially if it's my tattoo.
Alessandro, where do you stand on Teslas? Do you want one? Have you got one? What do you drive?
What?
Tesla. You've heard of Teslas. Yeah, we've been discussing it.
I didn't hear
you. Yeah, I know. It's a bit random.
Tesla.
Would you like one?
Of course, yeah.
Okay, perfect. There you are. We'll sort that out. Frank, would you trade your Bentley in for a Tesla?
If it's for free, yeah. If they give me the Tesla and I can keep the Bentley, of course I get it. No problem.
Oh my God.
Gab knows Elon Musk.
Yeah, we discussed it. We discussed it on yesterday's show.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Thanks for watching, Shaq. Brilliant. Thank you very much.
I was out yesterday.
That is it. That's it, Dan. Go and cool off, everybody. We will be back tomorrow for more. I'm off tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
I think there'll be less tattoo talk.
I'm sure there will be, Dan.